Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Do you think science and faith are in competition? Can you rely on one and dispense with the other? Do you have to choose between one or the other? Or can you delight in both? And for example, does the so-called Big Bang Theory on the origin of the universe blow faith-based worldviews like Christianity out of the water? Well, here to discuss a nice topic for a Tuesday morning, I'm delighted to have theoretical physicist Dr. Peter Taylor. It's great to have you with us, Peter. How are you doing?
Hi, Wendy. How's it going? Yeah, it's good to be here.
I have to say, the origins of wanting to chat to you about this, it actually came about when I was preparing for another interview. And in the notes, the interviewee was talking about her perception that faith and science were in conflict. And she mentioned the Big Bang Theory. And I mentioned to her, actually, do you know that a Catholic priest came up with this theory? So do you think that there is this misconception? I don't think she was alone, that lady, that that faith and science can't work together. That's a misconception that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a misconception. And the funny thing is, it's quite a modern misconception. The Big Bang was controversial in the 60s for precisely the opposite reason, because people knew that it had very strong theological implications. So that idea basically came to prominence by an accidental discovery by two scientists, Penzias and Wilson in the States, who basically discovered the leftover or the remnant radiation from the very early universe, from this kind of Big Bang event. And when they discovered that, it was very, very controversial. And many of the newspapers of that day were reporting on proof that God created the universe. And in fact, in Russian cosmologists and Russian scientists at that time were working very hard to try come up with alternate explanations for the Penzias-Wilson discovery, because they knew full well the theological implications of that discovery. And of course, their political leanings at the time meant that they were very invested in a strong atheistic Marxist worldview. So if this is controversial at all, it's because it's strongly suggestive of what you might say creation ex nihilo, or creation out of nothing. And this is one of the strongest pieces.
It's one of the things that it backs up. Actually, interesting. So said George Lemaître was the first theoretical cosmologist ever nominated in 1954 for a Nobel Prize in Physics for his prediction of the expanding universe. So there's another fact about him. But bring it back to that, because that's really interesting, Peter. Just how you're saying, no, actually, it was kind of atheistic scientists that were worried about the theological implications. So is that because, in simple terms, the Big Bang couldn't bang itself?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. The philosophical argument goes something like this. Everything that begins to exist must have a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. So if you buy into the most common sense interpretation of the evidence, which is that the universe began to exist, then that conclusion is unavoidable. Like, that's what we would call a logically valid argument. Again, I'll say it again. Everything that begins to exist must have a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. And in fact, you can actually go even a little bit further than that, because the beginning, what we're calling the beginning here, is actually the beginning of space and time. We can say that the cause must be spaceless and timeless, because the universe is very vast. We can go a little bit further and say that the cause must have been very powerful. Because the universe involves personalities like us, we can say that the cause must have been personhood. So in fact, you can deduce even more than just the universe had a beginning. You can actually, I would say, almost provide some evidence for, I guess, a classical description of what we would call God.
And when you're explaining it there, Peter, just in terms of, is it that this God or whatever this thing was that caused the Big Bang is outside of space and time?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, because the beginning in this context means the beginning of space and time, and that's where space and time itself were created, then the cause has to be spaceless and timeless, because space and time doesn't exist until that point. You know, that's obviously a classical description of at least the monotheistic gods of Judaism and Christianity.
And when you're drilling down into the idea of the Big Bang, from a scientific perspective, is that something that bolsters your faith, or does it make you question it more? And what's the kind of general view in the scientific community, or is it varied?
It's very much varied, yeah, because I think the criticisms are more about trends. I think, you know, if you go back to the earlier days, if you, like, to read you a quote from Penzias himself, he says, so this is the Penzias who wins the Nobel Prize for detecting the cosmic microwave background radiation, which is the strongest evidence for the beginning. He said, the best data we have are exactly what I would have predicted had I nothing to go on but the five books of Moses, the Psalms, and the Bible as a whole. So that's kind of an amazing claim from a theoretical physicist. But I guess on the scientific side, a part of the problem is that these Big Bang models at their very earliest times are unreliable. So they're reliable very, very far back. But at the very earliest times, you'd have to take quantum effects into account, and we don't know how to do that yet. So many scientists are trying to come up with alternative theories that might present a different picture at the very, very earliest times. So, for example, one of the most common alternative models is not that the universe began at that point that we call the Big Bang, but rather that we're just in an expanding phase of a universe that contracts and expands and contracts and expands. But these models are problematic for a whole bunch of reasons. There's one avenue that looks like it might be promising. It's called loop quantum cosmology. I won't go into the technical details.
Yeah, please break it down for us in an understandable way. So would that theory then take over from the Big Bang theory?
Well, you know, it's very early days. My personal opinion is that, so first of all of those alternative models are in the context of what we would call quantum gravity, and there is no theory of quantum gravity yet. So this is trying to get quantum mechanics to speak properly to Einstein's theory of general relativity, which describes gravity. And so this is the biggest problem, outstanding problem in theoretical physics, is how do we come up with a quantum theory of gravity? And the problem is that in order to accurately describe the very early universe, we really need both. We really need quantum theory and we need gravity. And because we don't have a satisfactory theory that deals with both, we're a little bit in the dark on those very earliest moments in our universe's history.
Do you think some of those things, Peter, are just for, you know, people like you, scientists, physicists, people interested in astrophysics, or does it go further for just ordinary people who have philosophical questions about life and the nature of existence?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interesting thing is that, you know, most of science doesn't interact very strongly with I guess theological or philosophical worldviews, but anytime you're dealing with the science of origins, there's a necessary overlap, right? So anytime if you're dealing with the science of the origin of man, or you're dealing with the science of the origin of the universe, or you're dealing with the science of the origin of information, those kinds of sciences necessarily have philosophical and theological implications. So there you will gather interest from all different perspectives, and the conclusions that you draw as a scientist in those arenas will probably be very strongly correlated with your worldview in the first place, because there's lots of different ways that one can interpret the data.
And what about that then for you, just thinking about that specifically, because your faith is obviously something that is important to you, and some people who share your faith might say, okay, the Big Bang theory, does that mean things like the first chapter of Genesis is redundant?
No, not at all. I mean, that's exactly what that Penzias quote is telling us. You know, he's saying that, you know, had we nothing but the Bible, this is exactly what we would have guessed. I mean, all the Big Bang is really suggesting to us is that the universe had a beginning. And you have to understand that for almost all of history, civilizations have believed that the universe was eternal. And there were a few rare exceptions, of course, but you know, true non-Christian civilizations, but it was the the Judeo-Christians, who pretty much stood alone in their belief that the universe must have had a beginning, because that's exactly what Genesis says. Whereas every other civilization or every other belief, every other scientific community, every other religious slant believed that the universe was eternal up until the 60s. So it's quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah, that it's when you actually dig down into the origins of this theory, it's very interesting. But I think sometimes what happens, Dr. Taylor, is that people might struggle sometimes with faith because, or science, or the fact that the two of them can interconnect, because sometimes even some of the theories you've been touching on today, they're so complex, and we maybe just shut down from things that we mightn't trust or we don't understand. How do you move beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, it is, of course, very difficult. And, you know, we have to rely on scientists to communicate these things to us in a way that is approachable. And, of course, the scientist who's communicating it to us will also superimpose on that their particular worldview. And so that's part of why there's a misconception that there's this sharp dichotomy between science and faith, because oftentimes the most vocal scientists happen to subscribe to an atheistic worldview. And so people then believe, well, this is the general consensus amongst all scientists.
Yeah, and it's looked at through that lens. What about, finally, just to ask you then, say someone who's listening and they're really intrigued by some of what you've said, and they didn't know a lot of what you've been referring to, and they want to learn more. Where is a good place to start on that theme of just science and faith actually not being in competition with each other, but so often working together?
Yeah, there's lots of really good authors out there at the moment, so we're really lucky to have lots of very, very excellent authors. I would say William Lane Craig is a good place to start. He's an excellent author, and he's one of the, one of the proponents of this this worldview, or this perspective that I mentioned, that everything that begins to exist must have a cause, this kind of idea. He was a strong proponent of that. I think he did his PhD on this philosophical idea. So he would be good. I like Frank Turek as well. He has a really nice book called Stealing from God. Which is this idea that atheists have to basically borrow things from a theistic worldview in order to make their case in the first place, which is a really nice premise. So they're two really good places.
That's a good
start,
Peter. Thanks so much. Yeah. And thanks for just breaking it down into something that's understandable. And I know lots of people will be ruminating on lots of what you said today. Be good to kind of take it further with some of those books. Thanks for joining us on the show today. That is Dr. Peter Taylor, theoretical physicist.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.